Mark chapter 8. We're just going to read a few verses. We'll get a running jump there. This is a very, very shallow message. I want to be a help. Tonight, just bring some things to fruition in our minds, just to keep us on guard. Listen, I believe that we are living in the last hours. I really do. We have seen just in the last month, I don't know, numerous people saved in our church, added to the church. Our pews are filling again. There's people, listen, soul winning, knocking doors. Either people don't want anything to do with you or people are ready. And I believe that we're seeing that. We're seeing the foretold things of Revelation and Ezekiel and Daniel. I believe we're seeing them come to fruition. But let me remind you, tonight we're sitting here, and I would call this the home. This is the home people of the church. These are the people right here tonight. You are the faithful members. You're the ones that serve. You're the ones that do those things. But let me remind you of something. The devil wants to ruin and to wreck what is going on in your home. There is nothing more in my eyes under attack in Christianity than home. Because see, this church is made up of homes. And when you have good, strong homes, you have a good, strong church. Okay, so in a home could be, you could be a widow woman here tonight. You make up a home. You could be a young couple, just got married with no children. You make up a home. You could be a family like Brother Morse and have numerous kids. You make up a home, okay? You could be senior saints and your kids are off and they're gone. But guess what? You still have an influence in people's lives. You make up a home in this church, and the homes in this church make this body up. You make up the body of Christ. And tonight, I just want to take a simple little portion of scripture. I want to take one phrase, and I just want to. I'm gonna do a little bit of a layout of an introduction to it. I'm gonna ask you four questions, and we're gonna go to the house. You can get home and make mom a hot dog before it's dark. Okay. Mark chapter 8, verse 31. We're going to read down through verse 33. Mark chapter 8, verse 31. And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders, of the chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. And he spake that saying openly, and Peter took him and began to rebuke him. But when he turned about and looked on his disciples, he rebuked Peter, saying, "Get thee behind me, Satan, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of men." And tonight I want to speak to you on this thought, Satan's back door to your home. Satan's back door to your home. Dear Heavenly Father, God, I thank you, Lord, for this day. I thank you for these dear people. God, I thank you for a good spirit. God, I thank you for a church and the pastor that is here. And God, what influence, God, he has had on not only this church and this town, but God, I think of the influence he's had across the nation and the influence he's had on me. And God, I pray that you would hedge him about while he's away. I pray that you'd watch over him, God. I pray that you'd just bless him and encourage him. But God, we've come here tonight. We've gathered in your name. And God, I pray that your presence would fall heavy on our service, God. These people came to hear from you here tonight. They came to hear from heaven. And God, I pray and I beg you and I plead with you, you clear out my heart, my mind, God, of anything that would be of me. Lord, I pray that you would fill me up with your spirit, God, tonight, your wisdom and your knowledge, and speak through me tonight, God, as a vessel that would be filled up with you. Lord, I pray that what you have for your dear people, God, would not be just heard, but it'd be received. They would take these just simple thoughts here tonight, God, reminders, God, and just make sure that they're aware of them, God, in their lives. They would apply these things, Lord, that each and every one of us could leave here tonight, God, and take these things and live better for you. God, I pray that you would help us now in this time. And God, as always, if there be somebody in this building tonight that's not born again and not truly saved, God, I pray tonight you get a hold of their heart, and today would be that day of their salvation. They'd call upon you and get that settled in Jesus' name. Amen. I already touched on it, but the devil hates to see anything going on for the Lord. He hates it. If you're here tonight, you're born again, you're saved, you're blood bought into the family of God. The devil cannot have your soul, and that's enough there just to shout about and to be excited about. But with that being said, as soon as you got saved, you entered into the Lord's army. And God warns us and he tells us to put on the whole armor of God. Why? Because there's going to be a battle. There's going to be a fight. And the devil wants nothing more than to keep you from being used for God. He hates that. He hates the home. He hates the Christian home. Young people sitting here tonight, the devil wants to ruin and wreck your life. He wants to take your life. He wants to influence you around things. Listen, it is so, so vitally important as parents that we guard our children. People tell me, they say, Brother Rex, you're sheltering your children. I said, yes, I am. Yes, I am. I'm sheltering my children because there's enough in the world. Listen, just last night we sat down in Pizza Hut to eat, and there was stuff on TV that my son had to turn his head from. Just simple commercials. It's sick. It's perverted. And listen, this past year, I told my wife I hadn't watched a football game since they started kneeling. And at Thanksgiving, I had this blonde moment, and I said, I want to watch the Cowboys play. Let's stream that. And we put it on. And the thing that was sad was the game wasn't bad. It was the simple fact that commercials. I hadn't watched TV in so long, Brother Nathan, that I had become this. As soon as I'm like, what in the world are they playing? They desensitize you to those things through the commercials, through the promotions. And we got to guard our kids. What are they watching? What are they seeing when we're not with them? Listen, if you have a child here tonight, they don't need a cell phone. I'm sure your pastor would say the same thing because I know he knows it, that most problems come through teenagers, through cell phones and internet. It's just a sign. It's the times we live in. It wrecks and ruins our lives. Things will pop up on those things that they do not need to see. They don't need to hear. They don't need to watch. None of those things. And it's so vitally important. Listen, young people, it is so important that you follow mom and dad's lead as they're trying to lead you into things of Christ. It's so important because you know what? You're part of the home. So if the devil can get the young people off course, he can get the home off course. He can get the parents distracted. He can get their minds focused on the problems. Don't be a problem in the home. Listen, young people, that's why it's so important for you to have a walk with Christ, your own walk with the Lord. Because when you obey the things of God, you're going to obey your parents. You're going to obey the things of your pastor, your youth pastor. You're going to help the cause of Christ. You understand how vitally important it is that you keep your noses clean. It is so important. But the home, the devil understands. Let me remind you, he's been at his game for a long time. Listen, we've all heard of it. We've heard of the door that the devil came right through the front door with alcohol and filthy music and filthy entertainment. And he comes right through and he gets the family. And we understand it's a blatant attack of the devil. We've seen it. And we know who he is. And if you choose to go that route, he will destroy your life. He will. But like I said a minute ago, Brother Morris, the devil's been at this a long time. See, Brother Nathan, he knows there's some doors. He's not going to come through a lot of our houses through the front door. He's not going to come through. We're not going to allow the bad music. We're not going to allow the bad music. We're not going to allow the bad entertainment or the alcohol or the drugs into our house. We're not going to do that. And he knows that. But he has been at this a long time. And all the devil wants to do is to keep you from actually doing God's will. See, if he can't have your soul, but he doesn't want God to have your life. So if he can get in the back door, if he can slip in the back door of your house, if you've ever been out, and I know you have, you've been out on bus visitation or just follow-up visitation or soul winning. If you've been out on any of those things where you're following up with people, In our church, if you're not there Sunday and you're not there Wednesday, you better plan on it. Somebody's going to knock your door on Thursday night. We're going to find out where you were. What's the problem? That's a good thing to do. People know you love them that way. But there's some of those people that they do this so often, they know you're coming. So you go park down the street, or you got to sneak around the back door and catch them off surprise. You say, do you do that? Yeah, if we need to, we do that. But here's the thing. The devil does the same thing in our lives. He does the same thing in our lives. He knows he's not coming through the front door of a lot of our homes. But if he can slither in the back door, that's what he wants to do and just get our lives off course. In this portion of Scripture, when we're looking at this, the events that were going on here in this portion of Scripture, I want you to back up for a second. Go back to verse 27 in Mark chapter 8, or 8 verse 27. Look what it says. And Jesus went out and his disciples into the towns of Caesarea Philippi. And by the way, he asked his disciples, saying unto them, whom do men say that I am? And they answered, John the Baptist. But some say Elias, and others, one of the prophets. And he saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Peter answereth and saith unto him, thou art the Christ. Peter knew it, but let's just flip over just a couple verses. Jesus starts to tell them about his death, his burial, and his resurrection. I mean, just moments ago, Peter says, thou art the Christ. See, Brother Young, this is what happens with many Christians. We hear the sermon, we hear God's word, but we never really receive God's word. There's a lot of people out there, you knock doors enough, they're going to heaven because they're good. They're good people. I try to do good. But see, good's not going to get you to heaven. It's through receiving what Christ did through the death, burial, and resurrection on that cross at Calvary, that death, burial, and resurrection, that we have our faith and we have our trust that we have a home in heaven. It's by receiving that gift. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. Here's the thing, a gift has to be received. See, I've had gifts bought for me, Brother Nathan, before, and I told my wife, just take them back, because I'd rather spend that money on hunting stuff that I want. Amen. But that was a gift bought for me, but I never received it. A gift has to be received. I have done that. You cannot like me, ladies. That's fine. But I have done that. Actually, it's because I felt bad, Brother Young. I spent so much money on hunting stuff previous that I wanted that money back to pay for it. So if you hunt in this room, you understand what I'm talking about. It's a sickness. It is. It's a sickness. Could be a lot worse, but it is. But all kidding aside, a gift has to be received. If somebody buys you a gift at Christmas time and lays it under the Christmas tree and has your name on it, it was bought, it was purchased for you, but until you take that gift and make it your own personally, it has never become your gift. And it's the same way with sermon after sermon. Your pastor warns you, he teaches you, he shows you, he guides you, he tries to help you along the way. But until you take those sermons, until you take God's word and you receive it and apply it in your life, it's never become that thing. It's never become your own. And what the devil wants to do is he wants to get you off course, just like here with Peter and the apostles. Look what it says. Peter says, it says there, as Jesus began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and of the chief priests and scribes and be killed and after 3 days rise again. And he spake that saying openly. Think about this. It says, and Peter took him. I don't know about you, Brother Nathan, but I imagine when it says took him, he grabbed a hold of Jesus. Now think about this, brother. This is Just a minute ago, he says, thou art the Christ, but now he's going to take a hold of them. And he's going to rebuke the Savior. He's going to rebuke God in the flesh. Do you understand? But how often do we do that when we reject what God's word says? But he takes a hold of Jesus. And then Jesus says, he looks at his apostles. I mean, I try to envision the Bible. I love it. It's a real book. It's a living book. Here's Peter holding Jesus, and Jesus just looks over to his disciples. And he turns and looks at Peter and says, get thee behind me, Satan. And he makes this statement. He says, thou savorest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of men. And what the devil wants to do in our Christian homes, he can't have our lives, our souls, but he doesn't want God to have our lives. So what he wants is he just doesn't want God's things in our home. He'll let us have good things in our home, brother, but he does not want us to have God's things. This is where Satan's back door comes. If he can just replace God's things with good things, he can have the victory. And what we got to be careful of in our lives is that we just don't let those good things, there's nothing wrong with good things. Listen, there's nothing wrong with hunting, teaching our kids to hunt fish, to throw a baseball. Earlier, Brother Young, he was holding that baseball and I saw it and I said, brother, I kept wanting to get it from him and I held it. And I when I was a young man, I pitched in baseball and my dad was very well known. My dad was actually, right before him and my mom got married, my dad was accepted to go, I forget if it was the Phillies, I'm almost positive it wasn't the Cubs. My dad wouldn't have went and played for the Cubs. So there we live in a divided home. My wife's a Cubs fan, I'm a Cardinals fan, so we live in a divided home. But you know, she just needs to follow my lead on these things. But I loved to throw the baseball. I loved it. And when I was young, I threw no-hitters in Little League. I threw all kinds. My dad worked with me, and he worked with me. I loved it. And there's nothing wrong with teaching a boy to play ball. There's nothing wrong with that. But we got to watch our good things don't take place of God's things. And that's number one. I'm going to ask you four questions, and we will be done. This is Satan's back door to the home. Do you have good activities in your home or God's activities in your home? What fills your things? Like I said, it's nothing wrong with teaching your son to hunt fish, throw a baseball, kick a football, do any of those things. But do those activities take the place of God's things? Do the good activities? It's getting quiet. Now, it shouldn't get quiet. Okay, if you amen me, I'm going to keep moving. If you don't amen me, I'm going to park and I'm going to dwell there. You say that's not right. I'll get right later, but it's just the flesh of me. So please, let's stay energetic and let's be involved and we'll keep moving because I don't want to get in the flesh. But those, listen, When I started hunting in Illinois in 2009, that's when God called me to preach, or not to preach, to do the camp. When I came out here, I was not going to miss church. That's how I ended up at Bible Baptist Church. At my father-in-law's church, our youth pastor at the time came from Terre Haute. And I asked him, I said, brother, I'm going to be out there. Is there a good church I can go to while I'm out there? He said, go to Bible Baptist Church there in Terre Haute, because I was just on the other side in Commie land and across the Wabash. So I went there. At the time, Brother Parker was there. And I got to know Brother Parker some. But I remember the first night Brother Swarga was there, him and Miss Liz, they were just getting ready. The former youth pastor was leaving, and they were coming in to take it. And I remember them introducing them and so on and so forth. And then Pastor Swarga and I became pretty good friends over the years. But the thing about it is, I wasn't going to let hunting. Listen, I know there's a lot of guys. I know a lot of pastors that will go hunting and never go to church. That's their decision. That's between them and God. But as Christians, we ought to be very careful. where we take our families. If we remember the story of David with Bathsheba, where was David to be? And because he tarried behind in Jerusalem, look at the turmoil caused him. You know why? He wasn't where he was supposed to be when he was supposed to be. So Hebrews 10:25 has not changed. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves. Listen, today, Mother's Day, it's amazing, brother, how many people come Sunday morning because it's Mother's Day. They want to cook out. It's beautiful outside. It's finally not raining. We ain't going back to church Sunday night. Well, the doors are open. Nothing's changed. And I'm just harping on that today because it's Mother's Day. If it was Father's Day, I'd say the same thing. But anymore, we keep Junior out of church on Sunday because he's got a ball game. We keep him out of church on Wednesday because he's got a ball game. We keep, listen, the activities in the home, number one, ought to line up with God's word. They ought to line up with God's word. If they cause your son or daughter to have to dress in a way that is not scriptural, it's not an activity and involve them in. It's just that simple. It's just that simple. I'm not going to sit there and harp on what those activities should and should not be. Let your pastor do that. I'm not your pastor. I'm just here to encourage the things that I'm sure I know he's already teaching. This is a lively, there's a good spirit in this church, and I know your pastor, and I know he's not missing on anything where he's bringing you up in the things of the Lord. But you know what? Whatever activities we emphasize on our house is what we're doing. You will do what you want to do, and you know that. You will make time to do that. Oh, I just cannot make that revival all that week. It's just... You will if you want to. You will if you want to. What activities do you have in your home? What are your main activities in your home? Are they just good things or are they God's things? Just ask yourself that question tonight. I'll move on. Secondly, do you have a good direction in your home or do you have God's direction in your home? In Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 and 2, it says about setting our affection on the things that are above. Our direction in our home ought to be focused in on things of God. The direction of our home. It's different than activities. The direction of our home may dictate the activities in our home, but if our home is not being directed towards the things of God, the devil is going to direct them into good things. It is going to, listen, I've seen it over the years. You see people, they get to a certain point in their Christian life and they never go beyond that. Why do they never go beyond that? Because they never replace good things with God's things. Brother Nathan, I learned real early that on Sunday night, I was supposed to be in church. I think it's first year after I got saved. I was going to skip out. Man, they just stalked my favorite trout stream. I was going fishing that night. I started out the door. I went to shut the door, bang, $100 fishing rod snapped off in the door. I said, all right, Lord, I know where I'm supposed to be tonight. You don't have to tell me. I went in the house. I was miserable the rest of the night. Why? Because I was just, is there something wrong with trout fishing? No. It's fun. It's good. And they're not bad to eat. But it wasn't God's thing. I was trying to replace something that was good instead of being in God's house. And that's so important, the direction of our home. You know, I sat there when we travel, Brother Young, we're having music on in a car, and I sit there and I listen to my kids in the back sing the songs, and they know them better than me half the time. And I sit there, and there's times I gotta hold back the tears because They don't have to put away the old music. They don't have to. Brother Morris, I am so glad that God changed. He saved my soul. He changed the direction of me before I ever got married and had kids. I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful my kids didn't have to know the old Rex. I'm so thankful for that. I don't take it for granted. I do not take for granted what God has done in my life. And I'm not boasting about me at all. It has nothing to do with me. Trust me. I can sit down in Cracker Barrel and listen to the music, and I could probably sing along with half of it. And I have to watch. I have to catch myself not tapping my foot to that stuff. You say, what's wrong with country music? It's not God's music, I promise you that. It may not be that junk they call rap, may not be Satanistic rock music, but it surely is not God's music. It promotes things that are ungodly. I'm so glad my kids don't have to get that junk out of their mind. God may never take me, brother, and give me some nationally known ministry. He may never do that, but he made my kids. God may have just changed this old boy's direction for those kids to be used to that magnitude. And if he don't, that's fine. I'm going to raise my kids to be as godly as I can. What direction are you going in your home? Is your direction, is the sight, is the focus of your home directed towards the things of God? My daughter yesterday got to play in her first recital. She's just started 4 months ago playing piano. My son now wants to take piano. I'm going to encourage that stuff. Hopefully they can sing, because I can't. I sound like a coon hound singing in a bucket. It's not good. That's why God called me to preach. Brother Joe Boyd used to say this. He said, if you can sing, God didn't call you to preach. And I don't agree with that, because there's a lot of young men that can sing, play the piano, preach, do all that stuff. And you make me sick. But Brother Nathan up there singing, and I'm like, son. God didn't gift me there. But it doesn't mean I can't encourage my kids in those directions. What direction are we going in our home? And listen, I'm not harping on you tonight. I don't think this is a problem in this church. I just want it to be a reminder that we just watch that these things don't creep up on you. And that's all I'm here to do, is just to try to help encourage you to continue to keep our homes focused and directed on the things of God. I said, secondly, is there a good direction in the home, or is it God's direction in the home? Thirdly, do we choose good things for our children or God's things for our children? And let me just take a scripture verse, and I just want to read it, and I just want to ask you some questions on it. In Acts chapter 2, verse 17, I know where God was going with this, but I just want to pull a thought out of it. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. I understand where God was going with this, but let me ask you something. What do we envision for our children? I see this so much, where dads want to try to live out a baseball career that they didn't have through their kids. They want to live out a golf career through their kids. They want their kids to succeed in areas. They try to live through their kids. And that shouldn't be. This last fall, matter of fact, brother, it was the day that I shot that deer that I sent you pictures of. I got up that morning. I'm just going to be transparent with you. I was going to go hunting that morning and go soul winning with our church in the afternoon. We were having a soul winning blitz. And I was like, man, it's going to be a good morning. It's red moon. I want to go. It ain't going to hurt to hunt till 10. Then I'll go do the soul winning all afternoon. And we were going to do that. My wife was going to go do that. And we were all going to go. And I got up that morning, and I actually got up an hour before the alarm. And I just, it's back and forth, this and that, going. And I crawl back in bed. My wife goes, aren't you going hunting? I don't know. Maybe she's just trying to get rid of me. But I said, nope. I said, I'm not going to go hunting this morning. I said, God has somebody he wants me to talk to this morning. So we went soul winning that morning, went soul winning that afternoon. But I got to take my son with me. And I love taking my son. I love taking my daughter soul winning. I love getting him involved in those things. But my dad and I never got to go soul winning together. But my dad was a soul winner. My dad was like an international harvester when it came. God just used him to reap souls. And when my dad died, I got his soul winning Bibles. When you open them up, there's just pages of names. I got to take my son, my dad's soul winning Bible, and lead a young lady to Christ that day. That's my dreams for my kids. That they will continue when they go and hand people tracts at the store. My daughter will ask for tracts all the time. Can I give that person a tract? She's sensitive. She's soul conscious at 13 years old. That's the direction. That's the good things. That's the godly things I want for my family. Because when we have our kids in God's activities, when we are pointing our children in God's direction, and we are trying to have good, godly things for our children, that's how they will find what God's will is for their life. Listen, I'm not saying if God's will is for your son to be a doctor or a lawyer or whatever it is, if that's God's will for their life, then so be that. But how about we first focus on having them in God's will so they can know what God's will is? And if we don't have God's activities and we don't have God's direction, they're not going to know what God's will is for their life, because you have to be doing God's will to find God's will. You understand? They have to be walking. You know what happens in most Christian homes, brother? We bring them to church and we expect church and Christian school and Sunday school to get our kids on the right direction. And we never encourage them to have their own walk with God. Their own devotion with God, their own note-taking with God, their own, what did God speak to you this morning? Do we ask our children what Sunday school was about? Do we encourage them, make sure they're memorizing scripture? Do we encourage them to do those things? Because it's through their prayer, their Bible reading, their faithfulness to church, their Bible memorization, that is God's will for each and every one of our lives, soul winning. And when they're doing those things, they have the opportunity to see what God wants for their life. We're have them in a place where God can speak to their heart. But if our focus is baseball, 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 okay, we have time for church, God's not going to speak that hard heart. Their heart's going to be harder than that baseball. What is our focus? What is it? What do we want for our children? What do we want for our homes? Listen, the home that is following the things of God will be a home that has those, the right direction, and it will allow them to seek God's direction in their home. Listen, it's important just not for our kids, but for us as moms and dads, that we know that we are in God's will and we are where God wants us, because it's when we're in those places that our home's going to function properly, that our lives are going to function properly, that we'll be where God can bless us. It's so important for not only for our families, but for each and every one of us, for our marriages. Listen, if we get to a place where we get out of God's will and we're not there to hear those things, Brother Nathan, just think, if you start missing church, your wife might not hear the things that she needs to, so she treats you the way that she wants to, or that you want her to, that she should, because of God, right? I'm trying to help you out, brother. All kidding aside, we need to be where we're supposed to be when we're supposed to be there, so we can absorb the things that God has for us. Prime example, if I would have come out here, Brother Hunt, and never went to church, I wouldn't have stayed tender to the things of God. And when I was sitting there reading my devotions in the tree stand, I might not have heard God speak to me about a boys' camp. And you know what? Is it 300-400 boys right now? Nope. Someday it probably will be. If God does what he showed me he wants to do with it, someday it will be. But there's 22 young men that have trusted Christ at Outdoorsman Camp that if I wouldn't have heard the call of God in 2009, not saying they wouldn't have got saved somewhere else, but their parents cared enough to have them somewhere where they could get alone with God so God could speak to them, so God could do it. We need to make sure we have the right things for our kids. And lastly, fourthly, do we have good standards in the home or do we have God's standards in the home? And fathers, we need to be the ones that we are close enough with God, we are spiritual enough that we lead our homes according to God's word. God's standards should be what they are. Like I said, the standards in our home should all be set according to the Bible. The music that's in the home ought to be according to that. It ought to be, does it glorify God? If it doesn't glorify God, it shouldn't be in our home. How about the television shows do we watch? Do they glorify God or do they not glorify God? The dress standards in her home, are they according to God's word or are they just good dress standards in her home? There's a difference. There's truly a difference. The standards in her home ought to be set biblically. And if you say, well, I don't know exactly what they are, go to your pastor and ask him. Go to your pastor and ask him. He will tell you what biblical standards are in any direction that you're confused. And they're the directions that you have to go. Saul was a goodly man, but the Bible says he wasn't a godly man. Think about what happened in Saul's life because he was just a good man. We need to get to this place in our lives where we choose God's standards in our home. When we choose what God's standard is in our home for soul winning, church attendance, prayer, living holy, having godly activities, having a godly direction in our home, and choosing the right things for our family, the good, godly, biblical things for our family, Bible standards won't be a problem. Bible standards will not be a problem. Where are you tonight? I'm not saying there's anybody here that doesn't have good godly standards or good godly activities or good godly things. But let's just be mindful that the devil doesn't slip in that back door and get into our families and get into our homes and get into those things. Listen, there's a lot of young people in this church, and it's exciting to see that. It is. But you young people, there's nothing more the devil wants. Listen, every tub's going to sit on its own bottom. Every one of you here will give an account for yourself. Mom and dad, let's make sure that we guard who our kids are around. Let's watch that we guard what activities are around. What are they going to be involved in? Listen, my daughter's 13. She's in the youth group. I watch what activities she gets in. If it's an activity that's going to involve something scriptural, godly, scriptural thing, I'm for her going. If it's just an activity for them to have fun, I watch that. Because you got to me, this is where I'm at with it. And I'm not telling you to do anything it is. I just want to watch who my daughter's around a lot. I do. There's all it takes. Listen, my life got off course just because of the people I was around. It takes one video, one photo, one conversation. And you just flushed a lot of stuff down the toilet. We ought to have our kids involved with the right kids, the right activities. Your youth pastor does things for them. They're watched, they're supervised. He's got a huge responsibility on them. I mean, this is the future right here, these young people. As parents, as grandparents, aunts, uncles, older siblings, whatever it would be in here today, let's make sure that the devil isn't replacing God's things with just good things. Let's keep our minds, let's be tender to those things and make sure that the things in our homes are godly things. Let's make sure they're godly things. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed tonight. I said about this earlier, heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I wondered tonight how many of you could testify and honestly raise your hand and say, Brother Rex, I know that without a shadow of a doubt that I could give a Bible reason that if I died right here, right now, that I know 100% sure there's been a day and a time that I have put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ. I can raise my hand, testify that, slip my hand up. All over the room, I see hands. All right, you can put your hands down. Maybe somebody didn't understand the question. Maybe you did. Maybe you're just being honest. Maybe you're here tonight and you'd say, Brother Rex, I'm a good person. I do good things. Good is not going to get you to heaven. God will get you to heaven. If you're here tonight, you do not have a biblical, you could not give me a biblical reason why God should let you into heaven. Tonight would be that night to get that settled. Would there be anybody here tonight that would say, Brother Rex, I could raise my hand right now. Jesus Christ would save me right here, right now, where I sit. I would let him save me. I'm not sure that heaven is a place that I'm going to be when I die. I'm not sure of heaven, but I'd like to know that. Brother Rex, that's me. I'm going to raise my hand. I'm not sure that heaven is my home. Is there anybody like that tonight that would raise their hand and say, Brother Rex, I'd like to know that though. All right, across the room. Christian, let me ask you something. Has the devil been slipping into your house with just good things? Has he been trying to get you off course with just good things? Or are you making sure that you have God's things in your home? Let's be tender to those things tonight.